For Cleveland Caravan Camping, Boating and 4x4 Expo starts Friday at the Cleveland Showgrounds.
Every Tuesday, it's our honour to have our Prime Minister, Big Uncle Mal, with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Marto. Hello to you, Robin, and of course, Ed's away. Hello to you, Moon Man. I must say that today I've cordially invited Russell Crowe over to Point Parker. So Russ is just in the background. Yeah, thanks very much, PM. Yeah, good on you, Russell. It's my time now, so just back off a little bit.
One for you, PM. Now, you defended the No campaign's right to skywrite the letter No, vote No, over Sydney on the weekend. Isn't that sending the wrong message?
Well, no, Marto. And by no, I don't mean I'm voting no. Just no. It's not sending the wrong message. Oh, it gets very complicated, doesn't it? The No campaign have a democratic right to voice or skywrite their opinion. And I like a bit of skywriting on a clear day. Who doesn't? It reminds us all of simpler times, doesn't it? It reminds me, when you see that big skywritten word in the blue yonder, it reminds me of my father Bruce up the Hawkesbury. Ironically, Bruce did die in a plane crash, so they're not all pleasant memories. But when the vote no sign started to drift, if you turned your head upside down, it said vote no. If you turned your head upside down, it looked like it read onions, and that must have shat Tony no end. So I was thrilled.
Okay, what did you make of the NRL results over the weekend?
Well, I'm quite excited that the Roosters are still in there, of course, and now we have a chance to play in the grand final, but first we have to overcome the Cowboys. Now, I've been giving this a bit of thought, and it's a bit risque. Now, the Roosters are often referred to as cocks because that's another word for rooster,
yeah,
isn't it?
Awesome.
So if we beat the Cowboys well and make them suck, do they become a cocktail made out of butterscotch schnapps and Bailey's Irish Cream?
Okay, yes.
Okay. Ingredients.
Yes. That's a thought.
Yeah, okay, sir. Well, talking about that, will you be watching Sophie
Monk? I was going to get yellow carded there, Brendo. Come on.
We could do that.
Where's my whistle?
Okay. No, we'll let it make...
There we go. Yeah. Just for you, PM.
What were those ingredients again? Now, listen, will you be watching...
Butterscotch schnapps and Bailey's Irish Cream.
Yes.
The cocktail's called a...
No, we don't have to. There we go. Don't make me red card,
it finishes with Cowboy.
Well, yeah. Team, seems that you are voting no, after all.
Yes, sir.
For that one, anyway.
Now, listen, you often watch reality TV. Will you be watching Sophie Monk on The Bachelor?
Of course, Lucy and I like to stay in touch with a bit of television. It's not all chamber music and light opera down at Point Piper. And I'm a massive Monk fan, as are you, Marto, I believe. Met her yesterday and she swept you off your feet. Right from the beginnings with Bardot on Popstars, Lucy, of course, liked the ranger, Katie Underwood. But I've always had my eye on Sophie Monk. I like a little bit of Bogan. Every man loves a little bit of Bogan in his woman. And sometimes I get Lucy to wear a flanny. Smoke a durry and pop a few smoke rings, and then she goes, "Come on, Malcolm, let's go down the pines, you dickhead." And in Sophie's own words, I don't think she'll make a tool of herself. I think she'll cover herself in glory. So good on her. The Monks are right behind you.
Okay, what are you singing at the moment, Richard?
I'm singing You're So Vain by Carly Simon. I was getting onto my yacht the other day and I thought, I just started singing it to myself. You walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht, your hat strategically dipped below one eye, your scarf was apricot, you had one eye in the mirror and watched yourself go. But all together now, all the girls dream that they'd be your partner, they'd be your partner, and you're so vain. And I am. Yes. I'm Malcolm Bly Turnbull. I'm the Prime Minister of Australia.
So
before
true.
I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks the Broncos. Come on, guys. Get in there and do what horses do. win.
Marto, would it be fair to say that you are completely enamoured with new bachelorette Sophie Monk?
I've got to be careful here. Only because my wife loves her. And I saw the opportunity yesterday to get a photo with her. And she was quite flirtatious.
Well, that's the thing. Well, she's going to be on the show just after 8 o'clock. So.
I think she likes an older man. I did read in the paper on the weekend she likes ugly blokes.
Right. You're in on all counts.
check.
Well, we'll see if
no standards.
See if sparks fly after 8 o'clock, Robin Bailey.
Okay, do not judge me. Anyone, do not judge me from what I am about to say, because I actually think this might be a chick thing, or maybe it's just a weirdo, icky thing, but I know a lot of people that do it. Okay, so there is a video going around on the internet at the moment of an ingrown hair on a bloke's leg.
Oh, you charming. This is disgraceful.
That they get the hair out and it's about, if you pulled it out, it'd be about 20 centimetres long. And it is disgusting, right? So with that in mind, yesterday I took great pleasure, because my lovely partner Sean's been in hospital and he's had lots of stuff going on with him. And there was one particular part on the side of his neck where he had some tubes going into the jugular, and they were removed. And when they took the plaster off, there was some ingrown hairs on his neck.
Oh.
And it was quite
I'm not crying
painful.
With pleasure either.
So I was helping him to just remove some of those hairs so it was less painful, so that he was feeling okay?
Yeah.
But there is some morbid pleasure that I get getting out ingrown hairs.
I reckon all chicks are like this.
Same pleasure as popping pimples.
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't mind having a go at a knacker on Lou's back if it's ready to go. But she doesn't have the same pain threshold that I do. If she's going a big blind one on my back. Mm. She doesn't
do you
like
it
the thumbs
or do you
right
like
in there.
It?
I kind of like it.
Oh,
doing it or having it done to you?
Both. Both, thanks, Marto.
Yeah. But have you ever seen it? I have never reached over to squeeze anyone else's pimple or anything in my whole life.
What you're missing.
I do. I've had housemates when I was younger do those things on your back and stuff from sweat, like pimples and stuff. Mm. And one hit a girl and she didn't seem to mind.
Oh.
And you know how smelly they are. If we're going to talk about it, let's be honest. Whereas Kath doesn't mind, she'll have a go at anything. But I just think girls are pickers. Like, they're pickers and squeezers. I don't know if blokes are. Like, if I was rooming with another mate, I wouldn't go, guess a go on that pimple, mate. I wouldn't mind having a crack.
Even though he couldn't get it? Like, would you do it as a community service?
I'd say you'd have to hire somebody. No, I couldn't touch another man's pimple.
You haven't been on the train from the airport and just seen a big hot one on the back of someone's neck and said, excuse me,
give us a go.
Give us a, can I have a crack at your racket?
I bet you they do.
Do you reckon some random would come up to you and go, oh, mate, there's a big blackhead on your back.
I bet you somebody has approached a stranger and say, I'll have a go, I've got clean hands. I've actually got a pair of gloves here just for the procedure. Oh.
But there's something about with an ingrown hair for a bloke, particularly around the facial area, because they're thicker than most hairs, that if you, like when you actually get it with the tweezers and you can see it, like you can pull it out.
Something very satisfying in there, isn't there?
Marto, look
at
your face.
It's a very primal urge you've got going on there, Robin.
What about
you're
if
a lot
it was
closer
on
to
his
your family tree than I thought. And you're still living in it.
What about if it was on the bum? Would you still do it?
Oh, the bum.
Yeah.
It's its own reward.
Is that a trick question?
You a pimple popper. Get your calls in. Is it just women as well? If blokes love popping pimples, please. And we would love some examples of your best work.
I love it. Mr. Moon Man is sitting on the fence, sometimes loving it, sometimes not. And Marto is in the corner throwing up.
I sometimes help my wife out.
That's okay.
Have found some fantastic work on her body. One very memorable blackhead. I'll get in trouble for this one. It was in the fold of a leg, if you will. And I just went, I've got to get that. I've got to get that right now.
See what happens?
I interrupted passion to go blackhead
chasing
hunting.
Him. Blackhead hunting.
I found one. Oh. Leon of North Lakes. Tell us about popping pimples.
It's a satisfaction for me, guys. It's where I see one, I've got to pop it straight away for me.
Mm. But have you ever strangers we were asking about, Leon. Have you ever done a stranger?
Yes, I have. I've had someone do it to me while getting a tattoo.
Oh.
Was it the tattoo artist?
It was the tattoo artist. He was just finished doing a tattoo and he's like, oh, there's a couple on your back. And just started popping them. I was like, all right, this is weird, but it felt good for me.
You didn't feel violated?
No, I didn't. He asked permission, so it was all good.
Always ask permission.
I'm saving him for later, mate.
I suppose it's an artist's right, though. If he's just put a beautiful big bluebird on there and you've got an acca as its eyeball, it's like, no, that's not right.
Thanks, Leon. Lisa of Eaton's Hill.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Good. Lisa, are you a fan of this?
Oh, look, I don't mind, but I've got a girlfriend who's a nurse and she often will offer her services up to her patients, and on occasion has been known to do it without permission as well. So she was telling us this story. She had this patient who had a really big blackhead on the top of his head, and she's giving him a sponge bath. And in between each of her, you know, she'd give it a bit of a rub with the sponge and then she'd have a go at popping it.
Sorry.
Without him knowing. No, that's okay.
Non-consensual. That's not right.
Popping. You know, it's not.
Even if you think you're helping the person, doesn't make it right, Lisa.
No, that's right. She's pretty hardcore. We'll go away on holidays and her and my husband will watch the videos on YouTube of the... Of the pimple popping. There's another level, I think.
I just saw that. Yeah. Dr. Pimple Popper, it's called. Don't go there. Oh, my God.
Thanks, Lisa. That's awesome. DJ of Marsden, you're taking this to the next level, buddy.
Yeah, really am. I love popping pimples. But my wife's got a couple of sebaceous cysts on her back. And every now and then it sort of grows up and gets quite angry and... with lessons learnt, this one particular time we decided to take it out in the backyard rather than being in the house.
Yeah, righto. You had to clean the ceiling back. The one before,
get it
didn't
out
you?
The back.
We'll leave the high pressure hose on the ceiling.
So she's sitting down on the lounge in our alfresco, and I've come around behind her and I started working this cyst, and she went pop. It's shot a stream over my left shoulder, over the barbecue, and hit the back wall of our veranda about 4.5 metres away.
Wow, you need the dartboard set up for that one.
Oh, mate, I reckon a bit more practice, I'll hit bullseye.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Was she satisfied? What? Was there a like a feeling of relief after that?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. they do get, I mean, it's just like a lumpy fatty lump type of thing in the back, but every now and then it gets pretty angry and it gets quite sore for her. So
is it an ejaculation type thing, DJ? DJ, is it like ejaculation?
This is way beyond the ejaculation. This is like
okay, that's enough of the word.
It's a technical term.
It is a technical term, but I'll tell you what, there's been some... Okay, the words that we've learnt today, children, are fatty, cyst and ejaculation.
Yeah, he deserved
Nardo
that.
Nardo and Robin on
DJ started it.
He knew what he was doing.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
It is the one and only Sophie Monk. I'm so glad Channel 10 didn't make us wait after Maddie J found true love last week because, yes, as you say, Brendo, the new bachelorette, Sophie Monk, and she joins us. Hello, Soph.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What an impressive human being. Sophie, I'm the old bloke you met yesterday out on the veranda. Hello.
I remember. That's why we're doing this.
Oh, now, Sophie, you have...
I need an interview with him.
You've touched young Mardo's heart and turned him into a blushing teenager again. He has not stopped talking about how wonderful you are.
Oh, he was a legend too.
What about how I used the Trojan horse saying, my wife loves you, can I get up close?
Oh, I get that one all the time.
I do.
Or it's for a cousin. It's like, all right.
I tell these guys, is it true that you're happy to go with an ugly dude? It doesn't have to be looks for you?
Yeah, but no, I wouldn't say like ugly. I think it's been bit me squirted. I don't mean like gruesome where you go, well, but just like I'm not into looks so much.
Yeah.
Just want someone regular.
You've come to
it's
the
kind
right
of
place.
Interesting though, Soph, because lots of conjecture about the guys that are going to come on the show. A lot of them are a lot younger than you. Does that matter? Do you care how old the bloke is?
I did say 4, but not really because they're also mature. Like they're more mature than me, the young ones. So, and it worked out. Whatever they did was right because it fully worked. I wouldn't be doing press otherwise.
What, you'd run away somewhere and say, no, I'm not talking to anyone.
Yeah, I've got a manager. I could do that.
I'm not doing it. No way.
My wife said that you sound a bit, you're a bit blokey in your attitude. Now, I found out your old man's a builder like myself, so...
Oh, he actually, he was an architect.
Oh. Well, I hate architects, sorry. Oh.
Yeah, project manager, you would too.
They're our worst enemy. But so you got a bit of bloke in you though, Soph, haven't you? You're a bit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not precious. Like, it takes me about 10 minutes to get ready in the morning. I'm not a girly girl, that's for sure.
That's good. Yeah. Now, you've had some high-profile relationships. Are you looking forward to just having a relationship with a normal bloke that isn't in the biz?
So badly, because it's always going to go public with me anyway. So this way it just goes instantly public. And, yeah, I didn't want someone that wanted to be in the industry because you can feel used then, and usually you are being used.
Yeah.
What about if someone famous had a go, like someone like Russell Crowe, if he had a go at you?
Well, I haven't met him, but like I wouldn't say no to that, but it's just I've found to get competitive with each other. Well, like you'll get a job and they're jealous or like, yeah, it doesn't work out. It's such an egotistical industry we're in. And you can't have two massive egos.
No, that's right, Soph. It's actually Russell speaking. You know, you'd have to give up. You'd have to give up being in the public eye if you were going to go out with Go Russ Go.
You probably would have to take a back seat because he's clearly killing it over me. Why not give up?
I'll tell you what, I've always had my eye on you, mum.
Wow, it sounds creepy, Russell Crowe.
I know. Yeah, well,
I am.
One and the same.
Bit creepy.
So, tell me what we can expect from the first episode, because people are fairly passionate. We've got into the groove of watching The Bachelor and Matty J.
Oh, it's hilarious. I think someone cries. I haven't seen the edit.
What?
First a bloke. Night. A bloke cries.
You let him go, don't you?
Well, I can't say. But, all right. And then, yes. You know,
why does he cry, Sophie? Why? Because you're so beautiful?
It. No, dead set, nothing to do with me.
Kick him in the nuts.
Similar. And, there's like magic tricks. Someone does a strip tease. It's intense, the first episode.
Wow.
How many blokes do you pash?
Oh, way more than I planned.
Yeah.
Sure. Over budget.
I went in saying no, and I think I only didn't kiss one.
Sophie, tell me honestly, did you judge them on their kissing? Was that a reason to get rid of someone?
Totally. You can tell chemistry, I think, off that.
Mm.
So it could change your whole opinion.
Did any of them go the grope, as blokes do when they have the pash? Does that happen?
Yeah, there was one time, that I was like, going a bit far.
Yeah. It depends where you grope and how you grope. But in terms of pashing, what is the worst kind of pashing experience? Is it the lizard, the tongue in and out quickly?
Yeah, that's what I had.
Or is it the eel, the big tongue, like, whoa, right down the back of the tonsils?
No, it's the too much tongue action, gross. Well, there was one guy I kissed where my tongue just retracted because there was no room for my tongue to even be in there.
Created a vacuum.
All right, Sophie. Well, it sounds like you found love, and we're very excited by that. Looking forward to see how it pans out. Sophie Monk, the new Bachelorette. It starts Wednesday, Channel 10. Make sure you're watching. Thanks so much for joining us, Sophie Monk.
Thank you. Getting to know Moon. Getting to know
all about Moon. Thank you, Julia. Julie Andrews. I am an open book and like to reveal myself as much as possible.
We're sucking the best stories out of you, basically.
Sucking the marrow. And today I want to tell you about a job that I did to get me through drama school that I'm not particularly proud of, but I was very good at it. And I was a debt collector. Now, I didn't go and knock on people's doors and go, listen, you owe us $50. What I did was I worked for a publishing company that used to put out these terrible publications like municipal guides and directories and union publications and just harass people to advertise in them. Oh. They had a room of what they call blowers that would just ring random businesses and harass people. And eventually they'd advertise in these things, then they'd get the copy of the book or the publication and go, I'm not going to pay for that. And so I was the guy that would ring them up. And harass them for the money.
$140. That's
dirty work. Yeah. Anyway, I had a very good system. Shameful, I know, and I feel filthy about it. Okay, we've all got jobs from our past that we feel dirty about, but my system was, and it worked a treat, was I would ring up and they'd say, listen, I'll put the check in the mail, and then I'd had a little record of when I'd called them and what they'd said, and so I could go back to it. And so my plan was, if I could get them to swear at me, and abuse me, then hang up the phone. Then I'd ring back 5 minutes later when they were still full of adrenaline, and they'd eventually go, well, yeah, all right, well, I'll pay it. Just, you know, F off. And I'd go, well, you shouldn't speak to me like that. I'm just doing my job. And I'd be a little bit choked up. And so, and
did it work?
And that worked a treat. But
why aren't you a salesman? Yeah.
I know it's awful, but here's the key. Here's the key to get an Australian small businessman to swear at you.
Yes.
Here we go, folks. Here's the trick. Behind the curtain, after about 5 or 6 calls over 5 or 6 weeks, you say, hey, you said you're going to put the check in the mail. I reckon you're a bit of a bludger. That is Jelly Knight to an Australian male.
How
to call him a bludger.
How dare you?
No, it starts with F, GF, C. And then a lot of swearing. I'm going to hammer your head to the floor. And it keeps going. And then they eventually bang down the phone. Of course they are. Anyone in small business is very hardworking. Yeah. You call them a bludger, they will kill you. So then 3 or 4 minutes later, ring back and go, I'm just doing my job. You shouldn't call me that. Well, you call me a bludger, you mongrel. And then they pay.
Look at your emotional abuse. You emotional blackmailer.
I know. It's dirty. It's an ugly past, but I need to get it out there just to be able to say I'm sorry to the business people of Australia that I called a bludger.
There's certain things you got to do to get by. Yeah.
What have you done, Marto?
Worst one I've done. I've already told you I took aerobics for about a year.
Oh, no. That was a glory job. You were fabulous.
No, it was pretty shameful.
Were you married at the time, Marta?
No,
when you did aerobics?
I was single, and it was when aerobics got invented in the early 80s, and I was at suburban halls with lonely housewives, and you know.
I do imagine Marto in lycra and leg warmers.
No, they hadn't invented lycra at that stage. You had those running shorts with the splits up the side, you know, those disgusting things.
Yeah. You can see
that was the shameful.
You can still see that video at triplem.com.au. We had a lot of fun making that. Yeah.
The shameful thing about that aerobics class is occasionally popping an agate.
Whoops! Tuck that scallop in, instructor.
That would have made the housewives day.
Well, Robin, we haven't had yours yet. Do you want to wait until after the song?
Let me have a think about it. I've had a couple of doozies.
Most shameful.
Okay, so when I was 18, I was saving money to go overseas after I'd finished school. I deferred uni and I worked at a pub, actually in Sydney, called Jackson on George, which is still there.
Oh, great pub.
And they used to have a license till 5 a.m., but any time after 2, if it was really quiet, the manager would let us all go home early. Well, we'd go actually down to another pub that it was open till 5 and we'd have a drink. So the motivation of the staff was to get people out as quickly after 2 a.m. as you could. And blokes would never leave if there were any women around.
Hey.
And usually the girls that were staying were either underage or off their tree. And the one benefit of girls being together is they all go to the toilet together. So when they'd all go into the toilet, the manager or the other staff used to send me in because I was the youngest and looked the most innocent.
Yeah. Mm.
And I'd just go in and say, girls. We've heard the police are coming. I think you should go. And so they'd all pack up.
That's brilliant.
They'd head out the door. Nice. The blokes would head out after them.
Chase
and
them.
We could close up.
That's a wonderful theory.
Well, I'm relieved because I thought we were heading down a schnitz and tits type story. I thought, no, I can't look at you the same way.
Don't get him to explain that.
Stop right there.
What's
Luke from Norman Parks with us.
Just
hi,
a
Luke.
Rhyming couplet.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Have you got one you're ashamed of or not proud of, a job?
Well, mate, secretly, I'm very proud of it. I was a nude model for about 8 weeks.
For what?
Well, I was just recently married at the time, and we were living down in Mornington. And I was driving home, and the exhaust fell off of my Fiat. And my wife at the time said, well, you've got to save the money from somewhere. And I saw a little ad in the paper, and Mornington Art Society needed a nude model. So I used to go down the Saturdays for 2 hours, and the old ladies would do the painting, and get free tea and bickies. And I got my $800 and got my exhaust fixed.
So you're lying on a chaise lounge, naked, lounging like a Renaissance man. Let me ask you this, Luke. Were they using a lot of charcoal to draw you?
There was a lot of charcoal used,
One of the
ladies gave me their painting. God bless them.
Because I was going to ask, was it cold? Was it?
At times it was, Okay. Mornington is quite cold at times. Yeah.
Okay.
Did any of them make approaches, inappropriate approaches?
No, they were all over 80. the ladies.
Well, I saw, like a, the question stands.
No, I don't recall. Okay. But they were very liberal with their charcoal, you know, even if it was cold.
Lovely.
Okay.
Lovely. That's interesting.
Andrew of Boronia Heights.
The exhaust on the field.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hello. What's the job you're not proud of?
Yeah, not too proud of it. I used to be a driver for a adult entertainment lady or ladies.
Mm. What, an escort agency sort of thing?
I used to escort slash used to drive them around to stag doos and stuff like that, and was on-site protection and also had to collect the dosh. So, yeah, I'm not very proud of it, but hey, made good money.
So you were the guy that slipped the cassette into the tape deck and pushed play.
Yeah, pretty much.
How long did you do it for, Andrew?
About 12 months. And I probably made, I don't really want to say, but it was in the thousands.
Well, so every time, every night, you'd make $1,000?
I'd probably make about, say, $600 a night, and I'd probably do 3 nights a week.
Oh. What's the funniest thing you saw while you were doing it, Andrew?
I had an elderly lady. I think she was in her 70s to try and join the dancer on the floor, and she started getting her kid off as well, which was quite funny.
Oh dear.
And did it? And no, I can't ask it. No, right.
Oh, big news for Nicole Kidman, of course, always the star of the big screen. Now she's won the Emmy for TV, and her acceptance speech went something like this.
I'm a mother and a wife. I have two little girls, Sunny and Faith, and my darling Keith, who I ask to help me pursue this artistic path, and they have to sacrifice so much for it.
Oh, which was all really good, hey? Lovely. I thought, yeah, tremendous. I didn't think, though, as the Drive show did yesterday afternoon, the Luke Bradnam show, and they picked it up quite well, I forgot about the other kids.
Well, she's forgetting she's got two other kids.
Yes, exactly.
She's got two other children. She mentioned only two of them, except she's got two from her first marriage.
She's adopted kids.
She's a mother of four.
Yeah.
Not a mother of two. If you're her adopted kid and you're listening to that, that's going to hurt.
Isabella and Connor.
Oh, absolutely. Unless, of course, Isabella and Connor, because they are adults, have requested their mother not mention them because they want to get on with their lives.
Have they sided with Tom, maybe?
Yeah, they have. Both of them are Scientologists, and she left the church. Oh. So you don't actually ever see
them. Are you telling me there's two kids chose Tom Cruise over Nicole Kidman as their parent?
If I was in that divorce situation and they said, do you want to go with Nicole or Tom? It's like, I'm going with Tom. He's awesome. He's a lot of fun. I get to hang on the outside of a plane. Ding, 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 ding. Hey, Tommy, what are we doing today?
Well, I don't think that's the reality, mate. I think you get to stay at home with the Scientology nanny.
Scientology's awesome.
Okay. Let me throw this one to you. What about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard? The supermodel versus the Pirate of the Caribbean.
Oh, Pirate of the Caribbean every time.
Oh yeah.
I'm not being sexist. I know I've gone for Tom and now I'm going for Johnny, but you know, Johnny Depp.
He seems
all chain smoking and red wine. Hanging out in Paris.
Yeah.
Okay. Gwyneth Paltrow, Chris Martin.
Rocket.
Gwyneth is a nightmare.
Yeah. Sorry, no one's going with the mums here at this stage.
I don't know. I reckon if it came to Brad and Angelina, I definitely would choose Angelina.
No way, Brad.
Come on. I would stay with. Listen, I am a 26 year old Cambodian boy and I want my bath. Mum! Bath time!
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. Now, at times, the episodes get pretty emotional, like Ricky Ponting talking about his son.
Two lots of 3 weeks at a time in intensive care where you're just not really sure what's going to happen, but he got through the first one fine, and then when he got to 6 months of age, he had another pretty serious infection that we didn't know anything about, the doctors didn't know much about. And yeah, that was the scariest one because he was sort of shut down for sedated for about 4 or 5 days at one stage with where he couldn't open his eyes. And
I can obviously see the effect it has on you, mate, which is why it's... Now you've got me upset. That's what happens when you've got young kids, mate.
Fucking deep breath and get on with it, eh?
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Okay, so I've been through a lot in the last 3 years of my life, but I will tell you that quite honestly, the only time that I ever thought I was losing my mind has been over the last few days while trying to deal with a Telstra call centre.
So the numbers 132200 are imprinted on your mind.
Well, okay,
Sweet Jesus, those
pretty
numbers.
Much. So I told you yesterday that we've had this outage in my area and a lot of the western suburbs have been impacted by something, and we're all guessing that a cable has been cut, which has taken out the Wi-Fi and the Foxtel and the free-to-air, and every sort of, you know, screen available in my house is no longer available.
Great and school as much holiday.
As much as it was funny yesterday to watch my children scramble to try and get to everyone else's couch so that they could use free Wi-Fi, it's now not funny, and they're harassing me.
Hello, so my name is Gloria. Welcome to Telstra.
Where are you, Gloria?
I'm in Manila. Hello, how are you?
Do you actually ask them? I've never asked. But anyway,
they're in Manila.
So yesterday I spent, wait for it, 4 hours... Yes, 4 hours in the alternative universe. No, because we've got issues with the phone, my phone keeps dropping out. So then you ring back and you can't get the same person.
Back in the
so
queue.
You have to retell the entire story. I had 30 dropouts in 4 hours.
I don't want to tell everyone this tactic, right? Because I know
Please
that it's going to... Your tactic is when they say, what do you want? You go, I want to cancel my account. And you get someone in Australia.
That's the best
thing I've ever heard. I want to cancel my account right now.
Where were you yesterday?
And straight through. You bypass Gloria.
Yeah,
and,
so you
and Fernandez.
Say so you speak
and
to an Australian.
Whole crew. And you know, respect to my Philippine brothers and sisters. Yeah, you're
wonderful.
Doing a great job.
Yeah.
And I love you. English, your American kind of English. It's quite
cute. Perfect, isn't it?
But there's some cultural differences that I have problems with, and you don't understand when I start swearing that I no longer want to be patient.
But I reckon, and I mean, it's not, you know, let's just say it's not just Telstra or Foxtel but you know, any time that you've been left on hold and that process of trying to get to the bottom of a problem.
Oh.
Like, it's just insane. And seriously, yep. I ended up ringing a girlfriend of mine who's really sort of tech savvy. And I said, Fee, I think I'm losing my mind. She's like, you're not losing your mind. It's okay. No. You've just been lost in call center hell.
Where did it end up after 4 hours?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, nothing. Further. We still have a technical fault. And because that's the other problem. So then when you actually do speak to local people, they say, well, there's a technical fault. And I'm like, yes, but this is separate to the technical fault. There is something else going on here. But they can't get past the fact that until we come back online, they won't address the other issue.
The worst thing about...
losing my mind.
I reckon the worst thing about the foreign call centre is they don't understand when I say, listen, mate, I'm on Triple M and I'm going to slag your company off tomorrow. They go, hello.
That's not on
I've
their
never
lemonade.
Said hello, that. I'm Gloria. I've never, ever said that.
I use that all the time.
I don't think that's playing fair.
I used to work for Postcards on Channel 9. I know the people at A Current Affair, mate.
But I'm curious to hear, because it will actually probably make me feel better, because I have no resolution. We still have no Wi-Fi or internet or anything.
No one's gone 4 hours, though. Like 22 minutes, I get upset. Kyle from Logan Home. How long, mate?
Mate, on the phone from 8:30 in the morning till 11:30 that night, and still no service.
Where Telstra are we?
Water Telstra, then went over to Optus. I seem to have more coverage with Optus than what I do with Telstra.
15 hours of your life.
Then the next day, and then for about 16 days, we were without services. For every day, we were on the phone room.
Sorry, mate, your phone keeps dropping out.
Yeah. You might have to go to Vodafone now. Righto, Colt. Have a listen to this one, though, guys. Mark from Browns Plains, you might have an idea.
Yeah, good morning, crew. How are you?
Good, mate.
Good. Thanks,
mate. Some time back, Telstra changed my title from Mr. to Doctor. And I never asked them to. I just got a bill one day with Dr. Mark on it. And I don't know why, but whenever I ring now, they go out of their way to help me. And They always ask me how my job's going, and I say, yeah, good, my job's good. But, I never ask for anything. They upgrade me all the time. They, I pretty much get whatever I want. So,
Professor.
If you're ever thinking of getting some perks whatever, just change your title to doctor. I don't know.
Sir, what about sir?
True, because my mum was a professor of media studies and she never used it because she felt it was really entitled. But then they put it on a plane ticket. She gets upgraded every single time because it says Professor Julie James Bailey.
But why would you get upgraded? Like, is she a professor of aeronautics? No, we seem to have a problem. Is there a professor on plane? But what can a professor do?
I don't know.
God.
People are impressed.
Excuse me. Could you guys please stand up when General Mooney walks in the room?
Hey, Josh of Bracken Ridge. Go on, give us it. What happened to the call centre?
I had been on and off hold for a bit over 6 months with Telstra. My problem started with a bit of a call dropout and messaging on my phone problem.
Yeah.
It then stemmed to my home internet. And, after 6 months of continued calls, there was no help and no resolution, so I decided to go to the Ombudsman's office. And by this time, they kept me connected, and they kept the bills coming and the overdue bills. And by this time, I owed them like $3,500. Yeah. And I just said, not paying it until it's fixed. They never fixed it, so they cancelled the bill, disconnected me, and cancelled my contract. Didn't charge me a disconnect fee. They then reconnected me, my wife, and the home internet, and we got two brand new phones.
Oh.
And said, "We are very, very sorry. Thank you for staying with Telstra." And guess what?
What?
Nothing. Nothing has changed.
Still the same problems.
What?
Yep.
Oh, that is.
Hey, look at it. I got 6 months of free phone, and I got two new phones.
Mm. Yeah, but you've still got the same problems that would do my head in.
Yeah, well, I've got enough grey hairs, so I figure a few more didn't mind.
At least you've got it. You can say you visited the Ombudsman.
Yeah.
It sounds like going to Narnia.
Matto and Robin, Brisbane's Triple M.
Guess who's got attention deprivation at the moment? Pauline Hanson. Hadn't heard from her for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Pops her head up yesterday, and she's blaming immigrants for our traffic problems.
If the federal government intends to keep increasing the immigration levels coming in this country, they're not keeping up with the infrastructure that requires that increase in immigration, and we can't keep going the way that we are.
What, Pauline?
Please explain.
What did she say there?
What?
I know.
Well, it's infrastructure, Pauline. Please speak properly.
But she is saying, she's saying if you're going to keep bringing people in, you're going to have to spend more money. Like she's blaming, she's blaming immigrants for traffic. That's where it was going.
There's a simple thing with traffic, and that is if there's more of it, it's going to be worse. So, mathematically, she's got a point, but it's like, let's not blame immigrants. There's other reasons why our traffic is rubbish, and I've been thinking about this for a bit, and I blame Uber. Okay,
ooh,
now Uber,
I like this.
The new taxi service, basically you can get behind the wheel with no experience and no knowledge of where you're going.
Yep.
And I reckon it's just contributing to a new trend that I call Google driving, where people are driving from their screen.
Yep.
You see them change lanes right to left, three lanes at a time, or late turns, or slow down at intersections just waiting for further instructions.
They just
and
stop
it's the Google
places.
Drivers of the world that are killing the traffic. Our cities are in gridlock because people are crap drivers.
So it's not just immigrants. So it's people who don't know where they're going and just rely on that screen.
That may or may not have been me yesterday.
Right. Well,
you're in Sydney this week,
you're a
tourist. That's okay.
Remember when you're 18, right? You used to get slung a Brisways or a Melways or a Sidways or whatever it was, or a Gregory's, and you'd learn, what was in your area and how to get.
I've got
to
one
places,
here right now,
and you would learn the I don't even know what they were called. Directory, what are they called?
Well, we call them a
Refidex. Directory.
We call them a Refidex here in Brizzy. So
a
if
Refidex.
You knew your way around. Yeah, I know, it's only Brisbane that calls that anyway. But shouldn't they have, Robin, you should, when if you hire a car at Sydney Airport or whatever you're doing or borrowing a friend's, you've got to put a T plate on. Tourist. So therefore, I'd be nice to you. If you were driving around Brizzy, I'd go, it's that silly old tourist pumping money into our economy.
Yeah.
That's right.
I agree with that because yesterday I had to, because Sean, my partner's in hospital in Turramurra, which is up in the northern kind of suburbs of Sydney. And we work in the city and I've got his car and I can put the SAV,
put the T on.
Yeah, on. But it doesn't mean, like, there are so many tunnels in Sydney, and if to go over the Harbour Bridge, you can only take one exit. I was skittling. Like, I was like dodgem cars yesterday. I wasn't actually hitting anyone, but I was screaming around corners and indicating. I was awful. I was a really bad driver. I will acknowledge that.
But I think the T-plate is a good idea, or the G-plate if you're a Google
driver.
Using
Google.
Mm.
Stay away from it.
Or the G-string. I don't know. Something G.
Marlo and Robin, Brisbane's Triple M.
I'm just starting to get into the routine of breakfast radio with you guys, and that means getting to bed early and doing a little bit of preparation the night before too, because you've got to, you know, lay out your clothes so you're not banging around in the wardrobe. You can't turn too many lights on, whether to shower before bed or in the morning. I'm in the morning guy. I just can't function otherwise. But also,
you're very considerate.
I am very considerate. I'm a very considerate guy. But also,
do you turn the light on? You know, when you get up to get going, do you turn the light on at all, or you just mooch around in the dark?
I'm sleeping in the spare room, which was previously
that's terrible.
The baby's room, so the light is one of those little rabbit night lights. So I reach out of bed and switch on a rabbit night light and just go, "Oh, mum,
wipe my bum."
Yeah, I've slept like a baby. I've wet the bed and I've woken up screaming.
But yours, you've gone to the whole trouble of moving out of your room.
Mm. Because otherwise, well, there's a problem, you see, in our bed. There's my wife and there's me and there's a 4.5-year-old and there's a labradoodle crossed with a spoodle. So it's a pretty full bed.
A labradoodle spoodle.
You can't, yeah, I know, vicious breed, keep the kids away from it. So you can't actually get out of bed without waking everybody up, because Rupert, the moment he hears you move, just starts thumping the bed with his tail. And you go, "No, mate, no, no walk." He's like, "Yes, hey, we're on here. Come on, we're on.
I'll get the ball.
Dad's
are you ready?"
Up. Yeah. "No, it's 3:30, brother. Settle down." Dum, 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 dum. But my wife went out last night to see a guy called Mark Manson speak. He's written the book The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Flying F.
Yes.
And so great I book. Said, "Well, don't come home too late." And she said, "Well, you can't tell me what time to come home. You know, I'm out. I'm going to go and see the show. I'm out with the girls to have a few drinks, because I know if she has a couple of Chardonnays, she'll come home amorous and want to wake Lozzie up and give him a little kiss. Hello, matey." And so I've got to get her in before 10. Otherwise, you know.
Is that how it pans out? That's magnificent. You'd be sending her out 5 nights a week.
I know. Some blokes would be going, "Well, what is the problem with that?"
Yes.
And it's like, well, can I just check? Are you saying that if she came in at 2 a.m., she's not allowed to wake you?
No.
Oh,
absolutely
I agree.
Not. Well, no, I've only got an hour and a half to get up. Yeah.
Okay. Right, so, what are you okay with that?
Well, the question is, when you're a shift worker, which you guys are, you know, like, who gets the priority? The sleeper or the comer homer?
The sleeper.
Or the going out to worker. Because that's the flip side of, you know, all the tradies and people that are listening whose majority of their wives, female partners, are tucked up in bed. If they're getting up to go to work, is that the priority? I say that as a breakfast radio person who's done this for 25 years.
Yeah.
My question is...
Have you always made your household get to bed early with you, or do they...
No. I have a 17-year-old who I used to wait up for, and he'd claim he was doing homework. They go to bed after me. But my judgment on this is depending on who's in the bed. So when it was my husband Tony, I would be very respectful and have the clothes laid out, and I'd go into the bathroom in the ensuite and I'd do everything behind closed doors. But if it's one of my children who's managed to crawl in over the years because they've had nightmares, stuff it, mate. Turn that light on. That might send you back home.
Right, okay. Time to get up, buddy.
I went the other way
because we got an ensuite in our bedroom, but I never use it. I built another bedroom downstairs and a wardrobe for myself. So I operate, not a bed in there, sorry, an office and a wardrobe. All my clothes are downstairs. So I get out of bed, grab something out of the fridge, go downstairs and take about 15 minutes to get ready. So I've never bothered my wife.
So we're asking you, you know, how do you do it? What, who gets priority?
Everyone listening at this hour gets out of bed at 4 a.m.
That's right.
Very true.
You know, how do you get around without standing on a hotel from Monopoly and screaming the house down?
Lego, mate. Lego is your worst, worst friend
for
when you've got small children.
Children are laying traps all over the house.
Hey, Paul. Paul from Logan. What time do you get up, mate?
Well, I'm just getting home now. I'm just about to crack a beer, but my missus, she don't get home till 1 o'clock, and I don't get up till about 3 in the afternoon. But she knows not to wake me up, otherwise I give her a taste of the medicine. I wake her up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Hold on. Let's go through your 24-hour home clock. So now you're home now. Is she up?
No, she's at work.
She's already gone. Jeez, what a funny house.
She gets home about 1 o'clock and I've told her not to bother waking me up unless it's for a naughty or something real important.
So she's allowed to for that. Let's just be clear.
Yeah, I'll give her a pass on that.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was my next question. What is the prime intimacy hour in your life? Is it 1 p.m. in the afternoon?
It's like every other male. When it's good, you know?
Yeah. If it's available, I'm on. Hey, so just tell me your morning. So you'll have a beer. Will you go to bed by 7?
No, it depends. Depends what I might go service my car or tinker around in my shed or whatever. And then I'll crash out. And as soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm gone. And then, usually I'll hear her come in or whatnot. And then I'll hear the back door or whatnot. And then usually when I get up by 3 o'clock, my dinner's cooked and everything like that, and so I just get up, get dressed, and give her a kiss and see you later. I'll see you on the weekend.
Do you guys actually share any time in the same bed during the week?
Nah, not really. No, mainly on the weekends when I get a couple of days off on the weekend. That's about it.
That's nice.
Wow.
You're a hard worker.
That is a tough life.
Rotation. Okay, thanks,
Everyone
Paul.
Feel better?
Yeah, we do.
That might make a lot of marriages last a lot longer.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Mm-mm. Hey, Mike.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, good. Who gets the priority, the sleeper or the worker?
Nah, the sleeper. I come home from work. I'm on my way home now. I'm just about home. And I'll get in there and she sleeps at 6 Neo Mastiffs.
She what?
Hold on, we didn't.
She sleeps at 6 Neo Mastiffs. My dog's on the bed.
Oh, God.
And I go in there and I got to be really careful and scoot around a lot because they just come down and they just step off. It's like if you might wake them up.
But you can't not wake the dogs up.
No, they do. They do come down, but they know who it is at that time of the morning. Like I'll be home probably another hour, and she'll be getting up around about 8 to go to work. So,
are they barky dogs? Are they barky? Are they woo 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 woo?
No, just growlers. They just come down. If there is an intruder, then they will go off.
Right.
Nice.
No, they know what time I come in. Yeah, they're pretty good. And when I get home, I feed the chooks and all that. I live in 20 acres, so yeah, it's not bad. But she gets the sleeping.
Yeah, she gets priority.
Absolutely.
That's what we're
the queen
finding,
must
yes.
be allowed to sleep.
Yeah. I'll take you through stats. I know Robin, stay with us for as long as possible. And,
okay.
Jason Tomalolo from the Cowboys is about to break a record, the first Ford ever to run 5,000 metres in a season. He is incredible. If you get a chance, there's only one person run more metres in the whole history of the game as Tuivasa Sheck 2 years ago. Mm. Tomalolo, the best Ford ever in the game, they're saying now. Here's my other stat. You ready for this one?
We're ready.
In the two semi-finals on
Robin.
Friday and Saturday.
Robin, wake up.
Sorry.
I know, the Tomalolo got it going. It's almost
we
foreplay for Robin.
Didn't it? What? Whoa.
Some people don't read the paper. I want to alert them about these numbers. You ready? 26 players were used by Queensland in this year's Origin, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The three games. Of those 26, 21 of them are going to be involved on the weekend. All right.
Wow.
New South Wales used 25 players in the Origin in the series. Three of them are in the semi-finals. Bang.
New South Wales Rugby League is in a parlous state.
Well,
one
it has no
to
impact
say on those stats.
That means their players have no impact on how the season goes, whereas the Queensland Origin players are still there at the pointy end.
Why is Queensland football so much stronger than New South Wales? Grassroots? Is that the answer?
Wow, that's interesting. Because they got more players down in New South Wales. I think they picked the wrong ones. But here's another one. You know the coaches. Let's say the Cowboys play. Now let's go the Broncos first. The Broncos play the Storm. Bellamy used to be Wayne Bennett's assistant, and here's why Queensland might be so good. Our coaching is superior. So Bellamy for years was the assistant of Wayne Bennett and then took his ideas, and he's probably become a better coach than Wayne Bennett. So there's one. So everyone happy
protege.
With that? Well, he was mentored.
He's probably the best coach in the league, I'd say.
Yeah. Bellamy. And Bennett was always the hardest working. Bellamy sleeps at his desk sometimes. He just sleeps underneath his desk and pops up the next day. Hard work is it.
I do too, but it's not because I'm hard working. Just like, you've had a big one, haven't you, Moon Man?
The other side of the coin, Cowboys play the Roosters on Saturday night. Paul Green from the Cowboys, who won the premiership with the Cowboys in 2015, he was Trent Robinson's assistant for a couple of years, who's the coach of the Roosters, and they won the title in 2013. Trent Robinson helped him write his CV, which gave him the job at the Cowboys, and now he's coaching against him on Saturday night. So we've got two games where the protege or the coach who was mentored is now going back to attack his boss. Incredible.
Ooh, it's very interesting. And so how does that relationship work? When does the mentoring finish? Can those guys still ring those
I reckon. Bellamy wouldn't ring Bennett, but apparently Paul Green still rings Trent Robertson.
What, the night before the game, just going, have you got any tips for me?
What are you guys doing tomorrow?
What are you doing tomorrow? Can you help me out? I'm really starting to panic. Yeah, just relax, Greeny. You'll be right, mate. Robbo, help me.